to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, March 6, 2022, by Bishop Bonnie Perry.
Good morning. I am just delighted to be here with all of you. This is one of the few congregations that I can say that I am coming back to. Because you will know, you may remember, that kind of like 8 days after my consecration, I got to come here and I was able to install Eric, your amazing, stunning priest, as the rector of this congregation. Yeah. And in that time, I have also met bits and pieces of you around our diocese in this weird pandemic world. It's lovely to see more of your faces. And I just want to thank Eric and John and Jim and the choir and all of you who make church happen. So thank you. Baptized, anointed, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus returns from the River Jordan and then is led by the very same Holy Spirit into the wilderness. A wilderness, a place in that day and age that would not be seen as a fine place for a getaway, for a little me time or self-care, but rather, as biblical theologian Justo Gonzalez says, the wilderness was a place of beasts and fear, inhabited by powers of evil, and was best to be avoided. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, leads Jesus to the wilderness where for 40 days he fasted, and afterwards he faces what that place and space was known to contain. The devil meets him, greets him, tempts him. And at first glance, these temptations all may seem a bit extravagant, kind of extraordinary, possibilities going astray that have little or nothing to do with like normal people like us. I mean, these temptations I'm gonna face, seriously? Turn this stone to a piece of bread. Ruling all the cities of the world. Or demanding extravagant displays of divine importance. Were I to throw myself off this tower, like, I'm sure an angel would get me, right? At first glance, all of these temptations are all a bit out there, seemingly well above our pay grades. But I invite us to just slow down for a bit, and let's delve into these pieces of scripture, figure out what we might be able to learn from these words. What is this narrative saying to you and to me right now about how we might act in our daily lives? If we take a minute to dig down and get past the special effects, the temptations that Satan places on a platter before a famished Jesus represent categories or areas that may well have a very real pull for all of us. In this time, in our lives when naked, unfettered evil is prowling blatantly in our world. In this ending of winter and this glimpse of windy spring, in this time that the Christian world knows as Lent, this traditional time of self-examination and fasting and repentance, let's delve into these temptations and look in the mirror and see where we might be pulled or drawn if we didn't maintain our best selves. Simply put, how might we actually respond to these provocations? Command this stone to become a loaf of bread. You're hungry, you're famished. Children are hungry. Entire swaths of our world are hungry. Do this one quick thing and make a difference. My question is this less about a magic trick and more about not giving in to settling for a quick fix to what is a complex problem? Change this situation for one person, one group of people, while always helpful for the folks who happen to have our attention. But does the quick, simple answer fool us into feeling as if the problem is solved? The problem is solved. It's solved by us. Yay. Yet in many situations, a quick answer is a short-lived solution. Far harder is it for us to plant our feet and not accept easy answers that offer short-term glory. I am hungry. You are hungry. An entire class of people in our country work full-time and yet do not earn enough money to feed their families. Food pantries and community kitchens are amazing, amazing ministries. And is there a deeper fix to have the patience to organize and mobilize to create enough dis-ease so that our minimum wage will finally enable most people who work full-time to feed their families? There's nothing wrong with wanting to turn that stone into a piece of bread. But the mistake might be, the temptation might be, is to then fail to look longer and deeper so that we might understand how much more needs to be done. I look in the mirror and I think, Bonnie, do you settle for that quick answer so you can move on? I will give you this whole domain and glory of all these kingdoms. If you worship me, it's gonna be yours. Power is morally neutral, but what we do to achieve it and who and what we submit to and worship to gain that power is not morally neutral. To be fair, very few of us will rule over kingdoms. But every one of us will have the opportunity to choose our personal goals and interests over the good of the community or the welfare of our neighbors. Any one of us can choose to worship possession of our material goods and knowingly or unknowingly cause others to have less or to be at risk, because we want our needs to take precedence over others. We see this on a global level with Russia's naked grab for land and resources over Ukraine's right to sovereignty and self-determination. And another part of the world, what about the United States' carbon footprint? Does it deserve to be so much greater than countries with a similar population? We can see this particular sin enacted on the global stage, and I also think it's present in our comings and goings in our everyday lives. When we choose our wants over the needs of our loved ones, our friends, our colleagues, and decide to do only what we want at the expense of their feelings or needs of another, might that be the temptation? Let's go to the really narrow. You're in the Kroger parking lot. It's 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. There is one spot left. You have been waiting and waiting. It opens and you see the other car. Ostensibly also could have been waiting. I don't see you. Boom. Maybe we know full well we should have waited. Friends, great or small, world class or petty, we know about this temptation to desire or control or glory, to preference our needs over someone else's. Throw yourself down and God will protect you. So how often do we put God to the test, saying and thinking to ourselves, if you do this one act for me, if you change this one situation, Holy One, or alter the course of this event, I swear to you, then I will believe. I'll believe and I will never doubt. And then I will also know, God, deep down in my heart, that I am made in your image and likeness, and that I do matter. How often do we find ourselves longing for and striving for an external validation of our worth? Enough talk about me. Now, what did you think about me? How do I matter and know? How do I know, and where am I looking for that validation? Might it be my temptation to forget whose I am? During this incredibly unsettled, and I think perhaps terrifying time in this world, on this first Sunday of Lent, I invite you to join me in a deep and prolonged and no doubt unsettling contemplation of the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness of the desert. And as we join in this disciplined meditation, I invite you to remember, as I will remind myself, that we have the very resources that Jesus had to fend off and fight back the devil: the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Friends, made in God's image and likeness, baptized in the one holy and undivided Trinity, God has promised from the beginning of time to be with us always. And God's Spirit is ever present with us. And God's Word, as Paul says in his letter to the Romans, God's Word is near. It is on our lips and in our hearts. The Spirit of God and the Word of God is with us in this time of test and temptation. The Spirit of God and the Word of God is with us in our lives and in this very troubled world. May we have the courage to dwell deeply in both. May we have the courage to remember that we sit now in God's holy presence.